Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, taking a big, thick slice of chat, toasting that up in the fire of humour, pouring over the beans of good times and tucking in just beans on toast, podcast of beans on toast.
That is the voice of Ed Gamble there. My name is James Acaster. We own a dream restaurant and we invite a guest in every single week. And we ask them their favourite ever start, a main course, dessert, side dish and drink, not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Stanley Tucci. Stanley Tucci. I mean, what is there left to say about Stanley Tucci? A wonderful actor, a wonderful food broadcaster. He's found a real niche in food as of late, James.
I think we're talking global treasure here.
Globe treasure.
Territory here. What an honour. Very exciting. I mean, everyone's talking about Stanley's food shows these days.
Yes.
It really captured everyone's imagination and reinvigorated people's enthusiasm for food.
And that's the sort of person we like to come on the show, James. Yes, we have. We have your comedians who come on here and they're a bit silly and they, you know, they have a laugh. But what we also really enjoy is people who are genuinely enthusiastic about food.
Yes. If you haven't seen Inside Man, it is available on iPlayer now, by the way. Highly recommend watching it. Stanley's amazing series.
And also the paperback of his book, Taste, My Life in Food, is out now.
Now, Ed, I'm very excited that we've got Stanley Tucci on. But, as always, if he says the secret ingredient, an ingredient which we deem to be gross or unacceptable, then we will kick him out of the dream restaurant.
We will.
And this week, the secret ingredient is dragon soup.
Now, this has been suggested by a listener. Apparently, it's an energy drink.
Yes, now...
It's quite sort of alcoholic, 7.5%. Very high in caffeine.
Yeah.
I'll put it as a secret ingredient, but... And I think it sounds horrible.
Yeah.
But I'd absolutely smash a dragon soup.
Sounds like you would smash a dragon soup. It does sound horrible. Morgana requested it.
Dan Morgan, I think, is the name of the person who suggested it, not Morgana Robinson.
Apologies, I thought it was Morgana.
No, it was Dan. It was Dan Morgan. At a certain point of an evening.
Not me.
Okay, I was at a wedding this weekend. I think, come 11 o'clock at a wedding, I'd neck a dragon soup, or an espresso martini is a posh dragon soup, right?
Is it? I had my first ever espresso martini recently.
Well, that's bad news.
I'd never had one before. Luckily, the person who made it for me. Gave it to me and went, oh, I forgot the sugar syrup. It's like some sugary ingredients meant to go in there. Mm-hmm. Went, oh, I forgot that. So I had it and it was nice.
Yeah.
But I didn't go completely loopy.
Right.
And go, this is all I'm going to drink from now on. So yeah. I think I had a narrow escape.
I'll make you an espresso martini one day. Next time you come over.
I don't know.
You've got to come over, man.
Yeah, I should come over. But, you know, I think by the sound of things, you're going to be high on dragon soup when I get over
I'll
there.
Be smashing a dragon soup, baby.
Be drinking all the dragon soups. Morgana furious with you.
I would be surprised if Stanley Tucci picks a dragon soup.
Yeah,
I would if be he surprised. Does, I mean, that's going to be... That's moment of the year at the British Podcast Awards.
Yeah.
Very exciting episode. Looking forward to chatting to Stanley. You know what? I've got a lot of people in my family who are big fans of Stanley. They're going to be very jealous that I'm doing this. And I might buy all my family Taste, My life in food for Christmas this year.
Is it fair to say that your fam are fans of Stan? Stan fan, you got Stan fans in your fam. Stan stands.
I've got Stan stands in my fam.
In your fam fams.
Look, we've all got Stan stands in our fam fams.
Yep. It's worth it. It's worth it to hear Ed sort it out. Ed sort it out for me.
It's the last episode of the series, James. Last episode of Series 8. What a series it's been.
What a series it's been. Twists and turns. So many wonderful guests. Thank you to all the guests who have come on the podcast this series. Thank you to everyone who's been listening to this series as well. Never thought we'd do 8 series.
No, yeah, I did. Also, of course, big thanks to everyone at Plosive, the great Benito, Naomi, Alice, and Toast.
Yes.
The full team. The dream team. One of them just runs around the office all day, distracting everyone and wiggling their bum around. But then when he hits record, he really calms down.
Yes. Saw it coming a mile off the punchline, but still funny. Really good.
Yeah,
It was a mile off, but what a wonderful mile. I enjoyed that mile.
Worth it. This is the off-menu menu of Stanley Tucci. Welcome, Stanley, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you.
Welcome, Stanley Tucci, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Here we are. The genie's here, ready to take your order, Stanley.
Okay.
You very impressed by the genie? You seem completely unfazed by the presence of a genie.
No, it's just because I have a little cold, that's all.
Oh, right.
You've seen magical things in films. A genie's not going to... on a podcast isn't going to...
No.
You've been in the MCU.
Yeah, there's nothing really visual here. It's sound. Just sound.
Just sound. That's how we would describe... To people who don't know what podcasts are, that's what I say to them.
Yeah.
Just sound.
No visuals.
Yeah.
I also love the idea of you seeing a genie in real life and the genie going, "Are you okay? You don't seem..." And you're like, "Sorry, I have a little cold.
I'm under the weather."
Yeah.
Sorry. Get back in the bottle.
Has there been a film that you've done where you do some CGI, so you do acting with a tennis ball or whatever, and then you see it on the screen? What's the most amazing one where you've gone, "Whoa, that looks like..."
I think those Transformer movies are, they're incredible. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You have no idea what's happening. It's all happening so fast. And they're guys with tennis balls, on, big sticks. And you go, look over there, be afraid, be angry, be sad, run. I never quite know what I'm doing, but, I just do what they say.
Has there ever been one where you've watched it back and gone, "Oh, no. What did they put there? I can't believe they made me run away from that thing. It looks..."
They were all pretty impressive, I have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because somebody like Michael Bay, he has those images in his mind. He's been making those movies forever.
Yeah.
They are pretty impressive when you just think about it. And a lot of people, he does it so quickly, a lot of people, it'll be quite a laborious process, But he's like, "Oh, fuck, I gotta just do it like this. Put it in there, do that. Don't worry about it. I'll put it in later." Everything is, "I'll put it in later."
The whole thing, yeah.
He'll put us in later, probably, That'll happen someday.
Yeah. The whole filmmaking process is just 3 tennis balls all pointed towards each other.
Eventually, that's what it will be.
The only guys working are going to be the tennis ball guys.
Yeah.
The ones holding the sticks.
Yeah, that's what Roger Federer is going to do now.
Just go straight into special effects.
What's the ABBA thing that they...
They've got holograms in the venue in Stratford. Yeah, so they just, God knows how much money they're all making every night, and they're not even there.
Yeah, I want that job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they had to build the venue especially for it.
Yeah.
Really?
As well. Yeah, yeah. So I was meant to go to that. I had tickets to go, but it was the day of the Queen's funeral.
Oh.
So
you had to go to that instead.
Yeah. To go to that. A lot of people know this, but that was a hologram too.
Yeah.
For her entire career?
Yeah, her whole career. She was never... It was always had a hologram.
She's been dead for years, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's been dead a long time.
Yeah, it's all been a
very long time. And we've been duped by a hologram. Normally at the start of the podcast, we'd ask if someone is a foodie or not, but we already know that with you, that you're a big-time foodie.
Yeah.
When did that start, your love affair with food?
I think from birth, my family, both sides, very just in love with food. And the way food was treated in our house was, you know, it was a very precious thing. And that's something that is part of the Italian culture and heritage. My mom was an amazing cook. She's still alive at 86. My dad is 92. You don't get to live that long without a really good diet. And it was great food. So it was, it always meant a great deal to me. But as I got older, I realized that it was kind of everything for me. And it always found its way somehow into my life and then eventually into my work.
And, like, how long were you thinking about, like, when you're, you know, acting for years, was there always a part of you thinking, I want to do, like, a food show? Or I want to do, like, you know, something that maybe people wouldn't expect from me the way I do, like, a food travel show? Or
well, yeah, I mean, I had the idea that, you know, the CNN series that we're doing, right, mm-hmm. Searching for Italy. And I had the idea about 15 years ago or so. But I had already sort of entered into the food world, having made this movie Big Night, which was 27 years ago. It sort of ushered me into the food world, and I got to know chefs, and I would, you know, go on cooking shows or whatever. And I loved that, and I thought, well, I really, really want to do something that nobody has done before with Italy, not just be in a studio and cook recipes from different regions, but to really break those regions down. While you're there in them and create, the original idea was to, you'd be creating like a dinner party. Each episode would be one, you'd situate yourself in a place, me and like a chef, and then we would go out and go shopping. We had them wake up, have a cup of coffee. It would be like a documentary, almost like fly on the wall sort of thing. And then we'd have a cup of coffee, go over the menu, we'd go our separate ways, and we'd get all the whatever you needed for the thing and come back. And I would be the conduit for the audience because the chef would be the one. And then I would just sort of help him or whatever. And then we'd throw a dinner party and we'd have people arrive and blah, blah, blah. That was sort of, but we do it in every region. It's an idea that could work one day. But anyway, we decided on this format for the show. That was the most incredibly long, boring.
Not boring at all.
No, sure. No, not at all.
Right.
I would love to see that show. I would love to see the dinner party in different regions and you and a chef.
It's tempting.
I think everyone listened to that. Is this going to go?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm looking forward to when that's a real show.
I want to do one maybe in the future where I'm just in my house and people come over, we go shopping, yeah. We talk about whatever, we cook and we eat.
That's all they want from a food show.
Yeah, yeah, people love that with food shows as well because it's about comfort a lot of the time, isn't it? So you want to feel like you're at someone's house. You want to feel like you're part of a social gathering.
Yeah, that's what it is. And that's what one of the main reasons for why I love it is because it's about communing with people. It's about sharing with people and getting to know people. And, you know, you have wine, you have whatever, and everybody gets a little relaxed. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I remember seeing you on, I think, Saturday Kitchen, making a cocktail, a whiskey cocktail.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and talking about your dad would always, like, if anyone went around, they'd always have.
Always.
He'd say, can I get you to drink?
Yeah, what can I get you to drink? Yeah, as soon as they would have dinner parties on a Friday night, Saturday night or something. No, it was just so cool. You know, everybody got dressed up.
Yeah.
You know, not like nowadays where people show up in their fucking underwear. You're just like, really? You didn't want to put a pair of pants on? You know?
No, I like that. I like it when people put a bit of effort in and then cocktails on arrival.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
I was talking to a friend the other day who he said the most dangerous skill he learned was how to make good cocktails because now it's just like...
Yeah, it's like you do. It's I know. Dangerous. I went to somebody's birthday party the other night and like the friends through the school, through the kids, you know, really nice couple. And I walked in and her parents were there and other people were there and her mother says... So I hear that you make a very mean cocktail. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, you know. She goes, I'll make you one. What do you want? She said, have a Negroni. And, of course, they didn't have anything for a Negroni. So I went, I can't make you a Negroni. Do you want a martini? Yes, I'd love a martini. And suddenly there were orders for 7 martinis. So I spent the first, 40 minutes just making,
working.
I mean, it is like, this isn't,
it's not my house. Yeah. I didn't invite you over, you know.
Yeah, you walk into someone else's house, they go, here's what you can get me to
drink. Yeah, right. It's like, I wanted to sit down and somebody give me a drink,
So funny that she asked for a Negroni, but she knows what she has in her own house.
Didn't have it,
I'll have a Negroni, please, Dad.
You have none of those things. Well, you won't be getting a tip with that attitude.
Yeah, I went through a making martinis at home during lockdown phase, which had to end quite quickly because that was sitting in front of the TV with a martini in a proper glass.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel right.
No, it doesn't. No, it's meant to be. It's sort of sad almost.
Yeah. Hugely sad. Yeah.
If you have a book, it's different.
Right, okay. A book, that's way better. It's the same with anything, though, I think. A book makes everything feel slightly more. If you're drinking a glass of red wine alone, if you're reading a book.
Even if you just keep reading the same page over and over. Which inevitably happens.
I mean, the one attempt I had at making a cocktail in lockdown was when... I think I've talked about some of this on the podcast before, but when someone sent me a load of alcohol-free beer, it was unwanted. I didn't want it. So I started adding whiskey to it, and it tasted really delicious. Ooh. And then I started adding, I like chucking a bit of lime juice in there as well. Mm. And I was like, this is such a great cocktail. I'm going to make it in a cocktail shaker. So I did that, and obviously it's beer. So as soon as I shook it, the whole thing exploded. It just all over me because I didn't even think that far ahead. You didn't. Just like two shakes and then boom.
You didn't think that it was effervescent.
No.
Yeah.
That's sadder than the martini thing, right?
But,
that's sadder than the martini thing.
Without question, alcohol-free beer.
Adding alcohol to alcohol-free beer is really funny. Did it really taste good, though?
Tasted great, because as soon as you add the... it just tastes like a normal Boilermaker.
Oh, yeah, right.
As soon as you added it, because, like, obviously alcohol-free beer... You get that aftertaste. It's like, this isn't
weird,
real beer.
I know.
But as soon as you add alcohol to it, problem solved.
Turns out that was the issue with it all along.
Yeah. So it was like, I called it a boiler faker, the cocktail, because it was alcohol-free beer.
That's funny.
And that was delicious. And then later on, Guinness sent us some alcohol-free Guinnesses.
Oh.
And I added Prosecco to that and made a black velveteen. And that was delicious.
Ooh, yeah. I'd like to try that.
I had a black velvet the other night.
Yeah.
Is that really a drink?
Black velvet is a drink.
Black velvet, Guinness and champagne.
I didn't know that.
And I went to Rules the other night, and they serve it in pewter tankards, and it's ice cold in a pewter tankard, Guinness and champagne. It's fantastic.
That's the only place I've had it as well.
Yeah.
And I had it because I copied Clang, David Mitchell.
Yeah.
So he ordered one, and I was like, well, I'm just going to copy him because that sounds great. Never had it before. And it was
of course
delicious.
You went to Rules with David Mitchell.
Yeah, of course.
You went with David Mitchell.
Yeah. Yeah, and Victoria, and just copied the drinks order, loved it. And then in lockdown, when I got the alcohol-free Guinness, I was like, I know exactly what I'm doing with this.
Black Velveteen.
Do love Guinness. I was talking about it the other day with my son. He's six. No. my older son, who's 22, and we were talking about Guinness and how much we love Guinness and how, like, he said, you got to go to the right place, you know, the certain pubs where... They can't pull a pint, you know. He's American, but he's lived here for a long time, so he talks like that. And he said, there's this one place, there's this one bar, I can't remember, or in London someplace, he goes, they pour the best Guinness ever.
Wow.
And I wasn't aware of that, that it changes, if it sits too long in the right in the thing, that it changes the enzymes or something. I don't know what it is.
I think there's so many variables, and it's like how clean they're keeping the lines and all of that,
right.
And then how they're pouring it. And
right.
Even the people are specific about the glass. It has to be like the old school Guinness glass.
The one that went like this?
Yeah, like that, but not the one with like the... There's like some that have got like a recessed glass harp in them. Not that.
Don't go near that.
And then the stuff they wash the glass with as well, because what people want is for the foam to stick to the side of the glass on the way down. And if you wash them almost too thoroughly, it's just a clean glass all the way down.
Ooh. So you want kind of a dirty glass.
Kind of a dirty glass, I mean, this is another rabbit hole I've gone down. I watch quite a lot of Guinness YouTube videos.
You do?
Didn't know, really? I learn new things about him every year.
Wow.
The Guinness Guru. Shout out to the Guinness Guru. Who goes around different pubs testing the Guinness?
Has he found?
You're going to go on and discover it's your son. Your son is the Guinness Guru.
I mean, I think all of the best places are in Ireland. So
you've got to
get that over there really for the best Guinness.
I remember going to the Guinness factory.
Yeah,
I wish that was weird they called it a factory, but you know, in Dublin, this is a long, long time ago. It was so much fun, like the tour, like the weird tour they give you and everything. But then you go down and you give your chits in. Right, your little, and you get 2 half pints of Guinness, right? They don't give you a big one. They give you 2 small ones. I was like, why? It was, to this day, I was like, that's a 7-course meal. I mean, that's like in a glass. I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It
tasted very different than other Guinness.
Yeah.
Well, I was in Belfast last. It was to do Mastermind. and there was a pub that everyone said you've got to go there and get a Guinness.
Crown?
Yes.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, you've got to go there. And me and Phil Wang, I managed to convince Phil Wang to come out for a seafood chowder with me, but he refused to stay out and have a Guinness because he wanted to go and revise for Mastermind because he's an absolute dweeb.
That's not good.
It's bad stuff, right?
Yeah. It's awful.
And he won, but at what cost?
Yeah.
Your paperback, Taste My Life in Food, is out now. So that means, like, the hardback's already been a roaring success.
Yeah, it did really, really well. Just got a nice royalty check. Guinness on me.
What's the book about for people who don't know?
It's just basically my life through food, which is the title, sort of subtitle of the book, and it's from my childhood and then up to today, and how food has influenced my life, and my work. And the fact that I realized, having been diagnosed with cancer about 5 years ago, throat cancer, that, and when you can't eat, when you can't drink, you can't do anything, that I thought, well, I don't really want to live anymore if I can't do those things. Luckily, I can do those things now, but it was really devastating. And so that experience was sort of a key element for me in writing the book, because everything led up to that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like food on movie sets or food when you're traveling, stories about my family and all that sort of stuff. But everything is seen through the prism of food. And there were some people who read the book and said, oh, we want more Hollywood gossip or we want more film stuff. It's like, did you see the title of the book? You know, it's like, what? You know, what are you, gossip about what? So-and-so was a whatever on set. You're like, oh, fascinating. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Only if it's connected to food, though, right? You could give a little bit of gossip if you're like around the craft service table.
Yes. Yes. Which is usually pretty awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I can't really imagine anyone coming out with like, yeah, an actor or celebrity coming out with a book that's like My Life in Gossip.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It's just, like, oh, really, just ridiculous.
Really sad.
Yeah. But it's like, when you go on a press junket, there's a story in there about Meryl Streep and I eating lunch with other cast members. And you know, we were in France and we ordered an Andouillette. Do you know what that is?
No.
Do you know what it is?
Ed looked like he did know.
Yeah.
It's like a sausage, but with horrid stuff in it, right?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah, we didn't know that. So we ordered this thing and we thought, oh, we love Andouille sausage. And Andouille sausage is in the South. In America, you get Andouille sausage, like New Orleans. It's really delicious. Great. We thought, great. So Andouillette must be a smaller version of an Andouille sausage.
Everyone would assume that, surely.
Everyone, yes. Yeah. Anyone who's has any kind of something. And so they bring this thing, and basically it looks like a horse cock. And I was like, what the fuck is that? What is that? And I look at Meryl, I go, that was not what I expected. She goes, No. We had all ordered it. We were like, okay, well, give it a try. We're thinking we're so worldly, like, oh, Andouillette, yeah. Okay. Cut it, put it in your mouth. Literally, it didn't even get past my uvula, and I spat it out. I was like,
which sounded, that sounds really French. The way
it was, yeah. And all I was saying was, it was so awful. And I was like, oh God, what is that? That just tastes like, you know, shit. And Meryl goes, yes, well, it does have a bit of the barnyard. And it was just awful. And we just couldn't eat it and felt so bad because the people were so nice in the restaurant, which is unusual for France. And the guy came over and he said, are you enjoying everything? You know, and we were like, oh yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. You like the Andouillette? I was like, yeah, no, it's really good. It's just different from other Andouillettes we've had. So, you know, and he goes, would you like something else? Yes. Can we have four omelets, please? You know, whatever, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure that happens multiple times a day.
I'm sure. And some people, but it's prized by some people in that region. And I think Lyon too or something, you know, it's like this thing. They're devoted to it.
But they're probably very proud of the fact that other people don't like it as well, right?
Yes. Well, I wrote in the book, I said, it's the reasons the Germans left Normandy. Because we were in Normandy. I said, it wasn't the Allies' invasion. It was the fucking Andouillette.
Yeah.
Drove them away, you know.
That episode of Band of Brothers. Yeah. And it's like, oh, that's fucking... it's part of my youth. We've got to get out of here. Let's get the band
This out. Is awful. Yeah. Literally awful. Yeah.
We always start with still or sparkling water for your dream meal. Do you have a preference?
I do like sparkling. I can't drink it as much as I used to simply because of the cancer stuff. Mm-hmm. But now I can drink it for the most part. But sparkling, let's say.
Yeah. Sparkling would be the go-to. How sparkling are you wanting it? When you get a glass of sparkling water, do you want it to be jumping, fizzy as possible? Do you want it nice and mellow?
Mellow.
Yeah.
Mellow. Sort of settle your stomach and, you know.
Some of them are too bubbly.
Ah, but this is a stomach.
They are too bubbly, some of them. It's like not pleasant.
Yeah, when you see the bubbles...
You get gas and
when you see them leaping off the top, when you see the bubbles leaping around like fleas on the top, I'm not interested.
Yeah, like little fleas.
Like little fleas dancing around.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Little fleas.
Yeah.
You're the first person who said a stomach settler. A lot of people, when they come on the pod and they talk about sparkling water, they focus on how it feels in the mouth, the bubbles in the mouth. No one has ever really said about the actual benefits of it settling the stomach.
It does, supposedly. That's what it does. And that's why so much of the world drinks it.
See, it's taken a lot of episodes to get to that.
Yeah, it has. But we finally got here.
We can finally
quit the pod.
So many people have come on who choose still water and go, why would people ever drink sparkling water? They hate it. They think it's just a thing to look fancy.
That's what a lot of people say, is they pick sparkling water because it's like a fancy version of water.
No.
No.
It's good. It helps you digest and everything. Yeah. It has minerals in it. And, you know. They used to drink. I mean, a lot still in Italy, you know, in certain countries, still a lot of that sparkling water is like sulfurous water. You know, I remember like even in like a gym in a hotel in Italy years and years ago, I had like a big water cooler and I was like, working out and you're like, I'm so thirsty. And it was like, sulfur water. It's like, oh, fuck, what is that? You know, it's just...
Was it sparkling water in there?
Yeah, it was sparkling, sulfury water. And I was like, who would do that, you know? But it's really good. The thing is, it's really good for you, you know?
Everyone burping in the gym? Was there a lot of burping going on?
Yeah, burping and farting.
Eggy burps.
The water smelled like farts.
The old fart water.
Fart water.
Would you have, for your dream meal, you don't want the fart water?
No, I don't want fart water.
No, you would like...
You take a bath in it. That's good for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like
and you
sulfur
can fart
springs
in the bath and no one would know.
No one would know.
Yeah.
Not even you.
Yeah.
Did I fart? Who knows?
I don't know what's me and what's not.
Yeah,
what's
the bubble? It's surrounded by eggy bubbles already.
Yeah. I don't know where I begin and the water ends. Yeah.
So is there a particular brand of water that you would go for if you're...
I have a deal with San Pellegrino, so there you go.
Do?
Yes.
Oh, let's get into the deal with the San Pellegrino.
No, I really do love it. They asked me to, you know, be their sort of ambassador and a couple of years ago, and I was like, yeah, are you kidding? I love it.
Great.
It's great stuff, yeah.
What does it entail? Do you have duties as the ambassador for San Pellegrino?
I do. I do. I just drink it. Yeah. On camera.
Yeah.
And then they give me money. You know, you're just sort of doing promotional stuff. It's mostly sort of all on the internet. And, but it's actually really fun to shoot it. We shot up where they bottle the water about a year and a half ago. We filmed there. And I'm going to film some stuff this week here. You know, they're just ads for it and stuff that'll come up, you know, on your browser or whatever that is. You know what I mean? So, but it's actually really, it's really fun. And it's a product that's like, that's so easy to go, I really like this because I actually do really like it.
Yeah.
But hugely classy that you didn't bring up the deal until we really backed you into a corner about it as well.
Did bring up what?
The deal until we backed you into the corner about it.
We could have done it straight away. We could have said still sparkling water. And
San Pellegrino.
You could have gone, when my thirst needs quenching, I reach for a glass of San Pellegrino. It could have been straight away.
Yeah.
We don't have a deal with any water companies yet, do we?
No. Not yet, which is like, you'd think, still a sparkling, we say it every episode.
Lots of British water companies.
Yeah.
Good spring water.
Do you think? I hate Harrogate spring water, though.
Yeah, this has come up before. Yeah. He has a real thing against the Harrogate spring.
Why? What is it? Why?
To me, it tastes like they filled it up from the tap.
And
but that And doesn't go down well if you tell people of Harrogate that.
Yeah, yeah.
They're very proud of their water.
Imagine. Yeah.
It's a lot of things they don't like. They don't like it if you slag off tea rooms in Harrogate either, so don't do that. Their tea rooms are objectively nice. But if you do stand-up comedy there and for your own amusement, you tell them that the tea rooms are shit. They really don't like it.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because they use no water.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
I'm not going to blame but myself for my bad gigs.
This is James's entire stand-up comedy career is saying things on stage that will deliberately anger the audience.
Right.
Yeah. Just petty things.
Yeah, oh yeah, not actual upsetting things.
Yeah, go to Sheffield. I know they like Henderson's relish, so I go on and say Hendo's is shit.
Yeah.
And then they react like I've just like... committed a crime.
Yeah.
it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I want to know more about where it's bottled before we continue on.
Please.
If I may. Is it is it Italy?
It's in Italy, around Bergamo.
So this is like...
Northern Italy.
And did you get to like go through the whole factory?
No, I didn't really get to go through the factory. I was really sad. We were just up in that town. Uh-huh. No, I didn't get to go in the factory.
It's not like the Guinness factory.
No.
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 They don't give you the little tokens at the end. You have
two tiny glasses of,
two half pints.
Yeah.
San Pellegrino. Yeah. Those guys. It's a seven-course meal. Poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, Stanley Tucci? Poppadoms or bread?
I'm sorry?
Poppadoms or bread?
Bread. I do like a poppadom.
Yeah.
I actually love them. Bread, I think, is more versatile.
Sure.
Yeah.
With Indian food, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Is there any specific type of bread that is your go-to or the best bread you've ever had?
See, it's really weird because in Italy, you don't necessarily have great bread. I mean, particularly up north, you have, like, there's no salt in it, mostly, in Umbria and in Tuscany. You'll get better bread the farther south you go, but then it also starts to become a little sweeter.
Right.
So it's kind of odd. The best bread is probably like the bread that people bake at home, you know, like the bread my grandmother would make or my mom would make. It's just like incredible.
Because I think from like the Italian food that makes it to the UK, like what everyone would describe as Italian food, the bread feels like quite an important part of that because people would always be able to say focaccia or ciabatta or
pizza express doubles.
Pizza express doubles, of course. Yeah, my kids love that,
It's good stuff.
Yeah, but no, you're right. Focaccia, that's where, there are so many different iterations of it, right? So focaccia, yes. Ciabatta, yeah. I think ciabatta is a relatively new thing.
Mm.
I don't think that's like an old
thing. Interesting.
I mean, like a real just simple country bread is what you want. But personally, I mean, when you're in France, it just eclipses everything.
Yeah.
France and Germany. Germany are the biggest bread eaters in the world.
You don't hear a lot about the German breads, though.
No, there's a huge number of variety of bread.
That's what I would think. If pretzels. Someone says German bread to me, I just think of a pretzel immediately.
In the book, I wrote about shooting in Germany, and they would serve this breakfast in the morning. The most incredible breakfast I'd ever seen. It was huge. Just all different kinds of meats and cheeses and 18,000 different kinds of bread.
Wow.
Like amazing breads.
A lot of sort of dark, like dark rye breads.
Dark rye, pumpernickels, black bread, all that sort of stuff. And then beautiful white rolls.
Oh.
How do you deal with that at breakfast, though? Because like I would just go crazy. If it's like meats and cheeses and breads, next thing you know, I've had eight lunches and it's not even lunch yet.
You kind of have to be careful because then you got to go film all day. So, But like filming here on one movie, like I wrote about it that there was a really good caterer, and they would do a huge breakfast with sausages and eggs and all that sort of stuff, and I had never had like a sausage and egg bap.
Is that
what you call it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I was like, I thought it was a long shoot. It was a 5-month shoot.
Yeah.
And by like the sixth week, I was like, I'm going to have a stroke by the time I finish this movie. I mean, it's like, I can't do this every day. It was so delicious.
Was it a sausage and egg bap every morning?
Yeah.
Every morning. And I thought, I'm not going to do it today. It was literally like that. It was like, I'm not going to drink before 12. You know what I mean? It was like, I'm not getting, like you'd work out, in the morning before you go to work. So you're all sort of like starving and everything.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I'll just have like egg whites or something. And then you're like, just give me the sausage bat egg thing.
Please.
Or a gov, and you're like.
Yeah. Oh, it is mad though, isn't it? Like, especially with English breakfasts. you just think, how is this breakfast? Because this just ruins a day, some of those breakfasts.
Yeah.
But it's obviously like it comes from a tradition where people were eating that and then doing heavy manual labor for the rest of the day.
Exactly.
But now that's massively changed. Like most people aren't working
all day.
They're
doing what
like
we're
that.
Doing right now, but, sitting
yeah,
down.
Exactly. And, yeah. But the breakfast, that's the same.
That's the same. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It tastes nice.
Yeah, and then like hash browns with it or something. That's like, how do you stop? How do you not eat it?
Yeah. Now, I've had the experience of going to America, ordering hash browns, and discovering they're different
totally
to
different.
Here.
Yeah, unless you go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Right? And then they're like more, like they're a crispy thing in a little shape.
Sort of encased. Yeah. Like, yeah, a bit more, yeah.
But yeah, hash browns in America is potatoes chopped up with peppers and onions.
So I would say that I prefer hash browns here, but maybe it's because I grew up here. What's your favorite hash browns of the two?
The ones here.
The ones here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
You know, they're like you can make them. Like, there's a chef I knew who taught me how to make them. Mm. And the key thing is, like, you grate the potato and you grate some onion. And then you squeeze all the water out of it. Like, you salt it and let it just, and then squeeze so there's no water left. Then cook it in a pan with clarified butter, not regular butter, because it'll burn. You just cook it in clarified butter slowly, and it gets that beautiful, crunchy, crispy. Oh my God.
Yeah.
My son goes completely crazy for him. I made it for him on his birthday.
I'm picturing him there with just like hash browns and Guinness. Like, and he knows it's his best birthday.
There's a
life.
Diet.
Yeah. Before we move on to your menu proper, I feel like we need to get more specific with the bread, because there's a bunch of different breads. Your grandmother makes, your mother, the bread in France, bread in Germany, at the big breakfast. For your dream meal, is there a specific bread from one of those that you would want to start the meal off?
I think probably like a really, really good focaccia or schiacciata, which is what they make in Florence.
Yeah.
How is that different to focaccia as we might know
focaccia
it?
Focaccia here is a little bit fluffier, right? Which to me doesn't really work. In Florence, they have it's a focaccia, but it's really called a schiacciata, and it's thinner and it's pressed down quite a bit. But also in Liguria, they have a focaccia that is similar to that with lots of salt. You know, they all have lots of salt and oil, and it's just like the greatest thing.
When
I mean, it's like just that. That's so you don't really need anything else.
Yeah. So you don't even need the oil around. You can just have it as that.
Just the bread with olive oil and tons of salt.
Because like if it's thinner as well, the oil is distributed more evenly.
Yeah, I think so. And it just has that nice crunch to it.
Great. Yeah. Great start.
Amazing choice, yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, Answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
So your dream starter?
It's a hard one. I almost just want to say oysters. Yeah. Like really, really good oysters.
Yeah.
But kind of oysters like with nothing. Mm-hmm. And then maybe like a couple oysters Rockefeller.
Yeah.
Which I only recently had. I hadn't had them for a long time. And they were really good.
Yeah.
Because oysters are just, they kind of give you energy. They give you like life, you know.
And they don't spoil the main meal.
No, like exactly. You, they don't
fill you
They're
just getting
up.
The mouth ready. Yeah. And, yeah.
I went to a restaurant recently in Stockholm.
Oh, wow.
And I won't name it because I'm about to slag it off.
All right.
But it'd be pretty easy to figure it out based on what I'm about to say. But the whole thing was...
Oh, you've this is...
Mad. We're not adding anything to anything. So it's like, we're just giving you it like one ingredient dishes and all this. And me and my friend were quite excited about this. So on the menu, it's like, we knew that there was... the menu changes a lot, but there's like... dishes that are just one ingredient, dishes that are two ingredients, and dishes that are three ingredients. And you're like, right, so this is going to be a place where we're assuming they get the best produce, so they just show you how good something can taste if you just, like, if you, you know, cultivate it properly and you and it's stored in a certain way, and here's this, the one thing, but it tastes incredible. Instead, it was just stuff that you would normally have as one. So oysters, for example, was one of the things where you're like, yeah, well, that's...
yeah.
Anyway, I go, that's what an oyster is.
Yeah.
And then you have it and go, well, that's not the best oyster I've had.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, but one ingredient, though. We're sticking to the rules. Yeah. Okay. And then everything was that. Everything was just smoked salmon. Might as well be out of a packet from Marks and Spencer's.
So weird.
And you're like, yeah. I mean, I like smoked salmon, sure. But I thought this was going to be the best smoked salmon of my life.
Yeah.
But instead, you're just going, here's another raw thing. An apple. That was one of them.
Fuck off. Come on. It's so pretentious.
Yeah. It was annoying.
Yeah.
An apple. I'm angry.
Yeah.
No, really. You know, yeah. I remember going to this restaurant I had been to a few times, and it was, I'm not going to name it.
Yeah.
And really heralded amazing. You know, blah, blah, blah. I went and were with my kids when they were younger, and they came over, and the kids were like fucking starving, you know. And we go like, can we, maybe some bread, just like a little bread just to get, you know, because the kids are, they go, no, I'm sorry. The chef does not like to serve bread for the meal because then you won't eat your meal properly. I was like, what is he, my mother? Do you know what I mean? I was like, what? Okay, fine. All right. So, and then they were like, we have a little appetizer coming. And we were like, okay. And little was really the right word for it because... it came, they brought it out on a slate, which is annoying. And you're like, well, you ran out of plates?
Yeah.
You just got the, from the roof, you just got like a tile. So they bring it out, and it was little radishes, little carrot, little cube, but tiny, like, but almost like you're like, is that an experiment? Like, what is that? And the kids are like, I'm starving. And they bring this thing, and it's just these little tiny things. It was very beautiful.
But,
and I was like, so is that? That's it. And they were like, yes. And then they said, now today, the chef, this is a vegetable-based day. Our mains are vegetables today. And he's treating carrots as though they were meat. And I was like, what? What was it? Was he milking them? What is he doing? I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. And they were like, so they brought out, like, a big fucking carrot, you know, like sliced and grilled or whatever. Yeah. And you're like, Okay. And, you know, for $8,000, you know, we walked out of there starving, went home and made dinner.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it was just so pretentious.
Yeah.
Ate all the bread you could. But you got
I've spoken about this on the podcast before. In a positive light, though, actually, it was very tasty.
Yeah.
I went to a restaurant. It was a vegan restaurant, and they did carrot tartare, and they do it tableside with, like, an old-school mincer.
Oh, that's cool.
So, like, they're doing the carrot through there. So they're treating carrots like meat, but it was a bit more fun. It was a bit more fun.
That's playful.
Yeah, it's playful. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
See what you think about this, about the same restaurant as well. In the corner of the room is the toilet. And you walk in there.
Is this the one ingredient place?
Yeah, this is the one ingredient place. And you walk into the toilet and there is a massive mirror that fills the wall. But it's only a mirror their side. So the diners are there. They've got a big mirror there. They can see their reflections. You in the toilet can see through to the whole of the of where people are eating. And as someone who stands up to urinate, I felt like I was just getting it out in front of everyone.
No. No way. That's so disconcerting.
Yeah.
I don't think I could, if you had to poo. Well,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I couldn't do it.
No.
Yeah. Oh, there's no one pooing
there. That is just weird.
Yeah.
But they're weird people.
No one's shuffling out a one ingredient poo in that place.
You don't need to poo halfway through that meal.
Yeah.
No.
But what's worse, though, is I bet there's people who go in there and go, oh, I like this.
Yeah.
There's people who enjoy doing that.
Yeah, I reckon. There are people who don't know food, right?
When my friend Henry went in there for a wee, when he came out, I told them that when you went in there, they flipped a switch and everyone could see you. everyone saw your dick. It was really, really fun for me to tell him that.
That is insane, though.
Yeah, it was a mad place. Also, he's a vegetarian but eats fish, and he told them before, because we said just like, bring us out whatever, just whatever you would recommend, just bring it out. And he said, oh, but I'm a vegetarian, but I do eat fish. And they brought the oysters out, and he wasn't expecting that. And he was like, I've never had an oyster before. I was like, they're brilliant, you'll have one. And he literally, similar to you and the sausage earlier, he went in, and then while still maintaining eye contact with me, he spat it back into the shell. And I was like, thanks for that. That's like start of our meal.
Yeah.
And he left his oyster. So he left that there. I ate all the other oysters. And when they came to collect the plates, they went, no one's eating this oyster? And he went, oh, I don't really like oysters. And she went, okay, well, just so you know, oysters count as fish. So next time you might want to not tell people you eat fish.
What?
And then walked away with that. He got properly told off.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God, what an awful place.
Yeah.
It's like hell.
Yeah. Also, the way that he kind of like consoled himself was that they seem very, you know, as they should be, very anti-waste there.
Yes.
So I was like, if it's any consolation, Henry, I'm pretty sure she's gone into that kitchen and eating that oyster that you spat out.
Yeah.
So if it makes you feel better, I think you just, you know... did what we all worried that waitresses do to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you reversed it.
Yeah.
And it's not even your fault. And he went for a piss and everyone saw his dick.
So not oysters from that place.
Not oysters
from Rockefeller oysters. Yeah.
Yeah. With a couple of Rockefellers. Because I was always quite, I was like weird about cooked oysters. Because the raw is so nice, right?
I know.
But then I've had them recently where they've been amazing. Even on, we did our dream menus for our 100th episode.
Yep.
And I buy like these meal kits from a place called Decatur who do New Orleans boils and also these oysters that you do, they send this amazing pecorino garlic butter that you put on them and then do them on the barbecue.
Mm.
And that is just the best.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they're cooked just enough to still have a bite to them.
Yeah,
and
right.
The butter is just insane.
Oh, that's amazing. But it's like even like a fried oyster, you know, there's a place, I remember this place in Vancouver. I can't remember the name of it now, but I used to go all the time when I was working there. So much stuff shoots there. And I would just sit at the bar and they had these really cool things. They have them in Grand Central too, in the oyster bar. So they have the big soup things that sit on a bar. Do you know what I mean? And they heat the soup up in it.
Right.
Wow. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
then they tip it like that and they serve your soup from it. It's really cool. Like they're right in front of you. And so they have those and then they do raw oysters and then they do fried oysters. They were literally the best fried oysters I've ever had.
Wow.
In my life. Like, you could not stop eating them.
Do you want those as well in your oyster starter?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, we'll check them
to your oyster starter as well.
Sure.
Yeah, you can have a bunch of oysters.
Thank you.
I was on honeymoon in May in California. We were driving Pacific Coast Highway and stopped at a couple of places.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And had, like, a big bowl of just fried seafood and oysters and clams in there, and just and by the sea, it just feels it's amazing.
Yeah. Like up in Maine, in again, I wrote about it in the book. I'm really pushing this book. Oh, sorry.
Push away.
My late wife, her mother and her husband lived up in Maine, and we would go up there in the summer, and we would get mussels, like just from the shore. You could get, you know, just gazillions of them, and they were the most delicious mussels I've ever had, ever. And you just, you know, you get them, you clean them, eat them right there, overlooking the water. It's like,
oh, wow.
But he used to go get lobster, just from a lobsterman nearby. We used to go out to an island, cook the lobster, and he cooked it so perfectly. He'd just take the seawater, cook it, put it in a pot, put over a fire that we built, and then put seaweed on top of the lobster, and then corn on top of that, and then seaweed. And then 6 minutes, 7 minutes, done. And you're eating that with butter on the shore of this island with, like, the beautiful Maine water. It's always like a little, actually the water's always freezing. Just, like, magnificent.
Wow.
Oh, that's it. Oh,
your
man.
Stomach like
my
that.
Stomach was already going crazy, and I could, as you were telling that story, I could feel it just going. Like, I'm about to make some crazy noises. Yeah, right now.
What's that lobster?
Is that what that was?
Actual stomach. It's like, people might think, you know, that's the great Benito's getting some sound effects there for the podcast. Yeah. Gurgle. A good food description. I'll put a little stomach gurgle.
They should hire me at a restaurant to be like a DJ.
Yeah.
Has everyone enjoyed the startup?
Your dream main course.
Again, such a hard, there's so many things that I love. I want to say a pasta. Mm-hmm. I want to say a pasta, but I also kind of want to say veal milanese with chopped tomato and arugula and like a squeeze of lemon.
Yeah.
Like, it's basically a Wiener schnitzel, right? It's the same thing. But when it's made properly and it's really thin and the veal is really good, that is just one of the greatest things in the world.
Wow.
Or lasagna bolognese is probably maybe the most delicious pasta that's ever been made.
Yeah.
That's when it's made properly.
Yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it? I think we, you know, we ask people their favorite main course and their favorite foods on here, but in my mind, I'm always thinking, but lasagna is the best food. So we've just got to, we've got to sort of, obviously everyone thinks that.
Yeah. It is amazing lasagna. I mean, it's a pain in the ass to make.
Yeah.
But when it's made properly, like my mom's lasagna bolognese is just one of the greatest things ever.
And what it takes a long time, obviously, to get the sauce ready.
Yeah, you
right?
make the sauce. You're going to slow cook the sauce, and then you bechamel it. And ideally, you're using two different kinds of pasta. You're using a spinach pasta and then just a regular wheat pasta. And you're cooking that pasta, then layering it layer after layer after layer after layer after layer, and then in the oven. It's, you know, it's a substantial, and people just devour it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like eggplant parmigiana.
Yeah.
You know, you make it, and then you're like, it takes you fucking ever to make it. You know, you put it down, and it's gone in like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
My son made it a little while ago when he was at university. He goes, Dad, I'm making an eggplant. I was like, oh, great, fantastic, great. He called me the next day. He goes, Jesus Christ. I had no idea. I go, I know. I remember I told you. That's why I'd get so mad. I was, God damn it, who ate it all?
Yeah, you've almost got to, every time you make that, make a little extra one.
Yes.
Just to keep to the side for yourself.
Yeah. It's true.
You were showing me a photo of a schnitzel before Stanley arrived.
I was. Well, I
that was no schnitzel.
I was in Copenhagen yesterday. I was in Copenhagen this weekend.
Oh my God, look at you, so worldly.
Right?
So, I love Copenhagen.
Yeah.
I was there for a half an hour once, but yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
It is amazing. It's an amazing place. We were there for a wedding on Saturday and then hung out there yesterday as well. And I had a fantastic schnitzel at a restaurant called Bar, but they do it with, it's like a brown butter sauce with capers in it, and then put these mushrooms on, and then lingonberries on top as well. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Oh.
Although I was wearing a new shirt because I thought I'd dress up, and one of the lingonberries exploded.
Oh, no.
So that was a bit of a drama.
Well, there's a lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say anything.
It's the classic Ed Gamble story, a lingonberry exploded on his shirt.
And that upset me. And
he was upset.
And my wife had to go and tell me how to get the stain out.
To Google it.
But it was worth it. They bring you this little pan of brown butter with the, I think they're capers, but they're like quite like dried capers almost.
Oh.
And you put the brown butter, or they put the brown butter on for you and then leave you with the pan of butter, which is a mistake.
Oh,
because as soon as she turned her back, I was...
Yeah, yeah.
The pan went over. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, were they dehydrated capers?
I think they might have been dehydrated capers, yeah. But it was good. We were hungover as well, so it was great hangover food.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Really good.
And sometimes you get schnitzel or veal milanese, and it's too... Because they cook it in clarified butter, right? Mm. But it's just too, to me, too buttery. It's sometimes too thick, too bready, too buttery. When I do it, I try to do it. I don't use flour, which I think is probably a sin, but I only use egg and breadcrumbs.
Right.
Have it, pound it really super thin, and then do half olive oil and half clarified butter. So you're still getting the butter taste, but it's a lighter.
It's just lightening
it's
up
it's
a bit.
Lighter. It's lighter.
I sort of feel the same about the way a lot of steak is cooked in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Like just, they hit it with so much butter at the end, especially the butter and the rosemary and the garlic and stuff.
Right.
When I do it at home, I'll use oil, like use rapeseed oil or something.
Yeah.
You still get the same char, but it's just, you're not just...
Yeah.
And you can eat the whole thing without feeling sick.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. A little butter, but not, you don't need,
The taste is good, but you don't need it soaked.
Yeah.
What do they do in, so I watched a video the other day.
Yeah. Oh, good for you.
On YouTube.
Yeah.
Of, this is my version of your Guinness guy or whatever. There's a guy who lives in Disney World and goes to Disney World every day.
He lives in Disney World?
Yeah, well, he lives in Florida, but like just on the outskirts of Disney World and spends every day in Disney World. And recently he went to New York for the first time and made a video of that. And he went to Peter Luger because he wanted to go to Peter. His whole life he's wanted to go there.
Yeah.
So it's a video of him going to Peter Luger's and having this steak and absolutely having his mind blown by it. Because everything that he eats anyway, I mean, this guy goes around Disney World eating food and it blows his mind. And going, every time he eats some food, he goes, oh, wow. That is phenomenal. So he always says that. Oh wow, that is phenomenal. And
about Disneyland food.
About Disney World food, yeah. He'll like eat a Mickey beignet and go, oh wow, that is phenomenal. So he loves it.
And obviously insane.
Come on. This is life. He went to New York. Obviously, he went to Times Square because that was where the Disney shop is.
Yeah.
So he went there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But like he went to Peter Luger's and he was like, I've been dreaming about this steak my entire life. And he loved it. But he said that they like broil it before they bring it out. Like they broil everything or something before they bring it out. They cook the steak and then they broil it and then they send it out. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was saying that that's the secret there for all the Peter Luger's stuff. He said they broil the strudel as well.
Can you
broil everything? Yeah, everything gets put through the broiler.
That's what you guys call grill.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
In America, right. So.
Well, that makes sense now.
What did you think it was in your mind?
Wait, when you said.
I thought he was putting it in a bain-marie or something. I thought he was boiling it.
No, not boiling.
Well, they were zapping everything in boiling water.
No.
Yeah. Quick dip in boiling water.
No, a broiler is what you call a grill.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So the heat's coming, intense heat's coming from above.
Oh.
And there are a lot of steakhouses that do that.
Yeah.
They just go under like that. Yeah. And it actually can, if you know how to do it, like it makes an amazing steak.
Well, he said it was the best steak of his life. He said he was going to be dreaming about that steak for...
Really?
Yeah.
I never went to Peter Luger's.
I don't think
I ever went there.
You can't book. So
is that
instantly a hurdle.
Yeah.
And I think you have to pay in cash. It's like one of those proper old school places.
And they're really mean to you.
They're really mean
to
you.
That's what I've heard. They're just horrible.
I think if you're a vlogger and you're filming everything, they're nice to you by the looks of things. Because that guy had everyone be nice to him, probably because he was documenting it.
Yeah, if you're taking a sip of the water and going, oh, wow.
Oh, wow. That is phenomenal.
This guy's a sucker.
Give him everything. He's going to promote us. So what of all those main courses, what are you settling on for the main?
Let's go for the lasagna bolognese.
Mm. Made by your mother?
Without question.
Your dream side dish?
I think, honestly, charred spinach or something like that. Mm. Really simple. Olive oil with a little bit of garlic. But you cook it with the garlic, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you just salt it, drizzle olive oil, and a squeeze of lemon.
Mm.
Really, that's it.
Yeah.
Now, when Stanley said boiled there, James.
Yes. I meant boiled.
You meant
under
boiled.
The grill.
Yeah. No, no, no.
Under
no,
the grill.
No.
That is phenomenal.
You just take... Yeah. Stupidly simple, but yeah.
It's all you need sometimes, especially if there's... Like a lasagna floating around.
Yeah,
like you've got.
Sure.
You've,
oh. It's a popular side. The actually not probably the first shout out for chard we've had.
Yeah,
but the spinach and garlic and
that's
the popular side to, on the pot.
Yeah, and it goes with the because if you have lasagna bolognese, you're not really gonna have a side dish.
No,
because it is it has everything in it.
It's got everything.
Right,
in there.
So you don't really have one, but if you have one, it should be a leafy green vegetable.
Has that been something that like you've got into more? As an adult, because I don't ever see. I mean, if I saw a kid and their side dish of choice was some spinach with garlic, I'd be like, "This is a sophisticated kid."
Yeah, yeah.
So
as you get older, it changes.
Yeah,
I remember my kids not eating any of that stuff, and now in their 20s, and they, you know, they do, like they love all that stuff.
Is that a fun thing? Because like I don't have kids, I don't plan on having kids, but. I think that must be a pretty fun part of being a parent is like food with you know, and like getting them into different things as they're growing up, introducing them to new dishes. That must be quite nice.
It is nice. It's hard when they're like the age that my little ones are now, seven and a half, four and a half, you know, every day. Like you just don't know what you're going to get, you know. Okay, you want some sausages for dinner? I don't like sausages. And you're like,
I want onion.
You don't like. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. You don't like sausages. No, I don't. You're like, yesterday, he ate, or 2 days ago, he ate like 50 of them. You know, it's like it's ever changing. Like you just never know what's going to happen. So you're constantly having those arguments. Two more bites, one more bite, one more. No, big bite. Big bite.
Yeah.
Big bite. That's not a big bite. Why is it on the floor now? You know, it's that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is really hard. But then once they start to really love something, then it starts to open their minds. And as they get older, now I love watching my older kids eat. My son, Nicola, is going to go to culinary school.
Wow.
He is going to culinary school now after graduating with a degree in politics. So I'm really excited. He's a really great natural cook. Has always had a sophisticated palate. Ate an oyster when he was two.
Wow.
I know.
That's when you know.
Which I think is illegal, but you know, it's my fault.
Eating olives as well at that point.
Yeah. He of all of them has the most sophisticated palate.
Wow.
You can tell early, can't you?
Yeah.
When someone's going to be adventurous with food.
Yeah.
I remember being like that as a kid.
Yes.
You were adventurous.
Very adventurous.
Yeah.
But I think it was also because I didn't like to be seen as being difficult or I would
have well, that's changed.
Oh yeah, exactly. No, yeah. No, it's gone. I've definitely regressed. Yeah. also, I wanted to be like more grown up than the other kids. And especially if adults are always a bit like, oh, you won't like that. That's quite a grown up taste. We're like, no, I will have that.
That's good.
Spinach was the only one they had to trick me to eat by saying it was like Popeye.
Yes.
Popeye eats that. He's strong.
Yep.
They'd be like,
I know.
Straight in.
That's why you got into pipes as well.
Yeah.
And tattoos.
Speaking out the side of my mouth.
Of all of my friends, Ed is the one that if someone said to me, you can hang out with any of your mates as a kid, I would choose Ed.
Really?
Yeah, I'd stay the same age as I am now, but hang out with Ed when he was
a kid. Yeah.
I think that would be a really fun day for me. I would enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
That's nice. All of my mates.
That's nice.
It's a pretty creepy hypothetical scenario, I'd say.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything. But...
Well, I'm going to ask you the question.
Yes.
Out of all of your friends, if you could spend the day with one of them and you say the same age and they're five, who would you pick out of all of your mates?
I don't know. That's really a funny question. And it is such a weird question. Probably my friend Steve Buscemi.
I would love to just see what he would look like.
Yeah. I think he would look exactly the same.
Yeah.
Also, he could say his catchphrase, how do you do, fellow kids, and that would actually be true. Have you seen that meme?
No.
That's a huge meme.
Yeah, it's a meme of him in
the
film.
Rock. No, it's in 30 Rock.
In 30 Rock, and he's dressed as a teenager with a skateboard and says, how do you do, fellow kids?
Because he's playing a private investigator and goes undercover in a school. But he's just got a skateboard.
Yeah. Oh, God. So you could actually say that as a five-year-old.
Yeah, how you doing, fellow kids?
Yeah.
I would love to see him as a five-year-old.
It'd be funny.
It'd be absolutely brilliant. I mean, characters, so many of his characters, which I'd like to see a five-year-old play. That's what I'd like to, if it was him, yeah. I'd like him to, right now you have to do your character in Fargo, but you're five.
And, yeah, that would be funny. Yeah. And just really disturbing.
Yeah. Con Air would be a weird one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
A few of them.
But he is one of the funniest guys ever. He's so funny.
Is he a good food friend as well? Do you go and eat together?
Yeah, we used to go out. Well, because now I live here. He's in New York. And we used to go all the time and eat together. And we'd visit them in Brooklyn, or they'd come up to our house. And we'd have weekends and stuff like that. We'd go to our friend Aidan Quinn and his wife Lizzie. We were the six of us. My late wife, this is a terrible conversation, but my wife, first wife died. Steve's wife died a number of years ago. And the six of us were really all very close. We spent 13 New Year's Eves together.
Oh, wow.
You know, and we were always cooking and eating and just having the best time. Anyway, I killed that story, didn't I?
No, it's nice. It's I was about to say that my friend named their cat after Steve Buscemi.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it called Steve Buscemi?
No, just Buscemi.
Just Buscemi. Right,
but yeah. That's the half that you want to pick to name it after.
We didn't know how to pronounce it, so it was just called Buscemi for the half. Buscemi, we said it like that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that cat has also died. So,
Jesus.
No, I'm bringing the conversation. Yeah.
I know a guy who named an actor, boy, he was such a wonderful actor, and Bruce Greenwood. And he told me a long time ago, he goes, look, we named our dog after you. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, Stanley? He goes, no. Stanley Tucci is the name of the dog.
That's great.
Full name.
That's what you want.
You always got to imagine when you name a dog what it's going to sound like when you call it across a park or something.
I know. Yeah.
And it goes, Stanley Tucci.
It's so weird.
Is that how you met? It's because he shouted that and you were like, yes?
Yeah, yes.
No, not you. For the listener, the great Benito has just said that his friend has a cat named Stanley Tucci, and he is finding
a photo flattered.
On his phone of Stanley Tucci, the cat.
All right, that cat looks insane. Well, all right, that's a scary-looking cat.
Yeah, that is a scary-looking cat. I just caught a glimpse of that.
I mean, cute.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Oh, that's better.
Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, no, lovely. Thank you. Thank you.
It is flattering, I guess, but also I would be asking myself why.
Why?
Sure.
Yeah.
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 At no point when you walked in here today did I think, he's got the air of a domestic pet.
Yeah. We move on to your dream drink.
I think at the beginning you'd have a martini, right? A vodka martini or a gin martini, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your preference?
I go back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with the meal, I think you would have a really nice... Not tanniny. That's just my preference. Soft, red.
Italian? Are we going Italian?
It could be Italian. It could be French. Whatever. As long as it's good.
Do you have a sort of a wine that you've had in the past that really stuck out as truly one of the great bottles or one of the great drink experiences?
Well, I think Tignanello is an amazing, it's an amazing wine. It has more tannins than I just can't, because of the radiation treatments, I can't. Anything tanniny, I can't drink, which is kind of irritating.
Because it's changed the taste or because it interacts in a weird way?
It interacts with your mouth in a different way, because your mouth has been so compromised.
Yeah.
And I don't have enough saliva to... You can tell even I keep sipping water and I keep... If the lack of saliva, it must do something with tannins. It helps you, swallow them. But for me, if it has very tanniny, it's like someone has taken a cloth and just...
Right,
wiping your tongue with
dries the mouth out.
It's painful.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. It almost hurts sometimes. Mm. Whereas if it's a really soft red, like a Pinot Noir or something like that, it's great. That's fine. But there's a wonderful wine called Villa Sperina that we had at our wedding. It's a white wine. And it's a place that we went to and stayed. This really beautiful vineyard, and they have this hotel. And, it's just gorgeous in Piemonte. That white wine, not really crazy expensive or anything, but absolutely delicious.
Mm, well, maybe we could have these drinks at different parts of the meal then. If you want,
I like that idea.
Martini at the start.
I would do the martini at the start, and then I would have a glass of the white, and then I would have a glass of the red.
Oh, yeah, a glass of the white with the oysters.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah,
you've got to do that.
Nice,
and then the red with the lasagna.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's perfect. Yeah, you've got to do that.
Would you raise a toast? Are you a toast giver when you have a glass of wine? Would you raise a toast?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What would you toast to?
This is a new question that James has decided to ask today.
Oh, really? Oh, all right. What would I toast to? a happy long life to everybody, you know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, after telling you the story about my wife and everything, and, you know, friends, and, you know, it's just after, I think when you start, when you get to my age, too, you're like, I know I'm not ancient. I'm, you know, I'll be 62, but you're like, you start losing people, mm-hmm. and people start falling apart, basically. So all you want is for the people that you love to be around.
Well, that's a lovely
toast, yeah.
See, I think this is a good news question.
Right, that's worked out. That's worked out well. That
is a good question.
Yeah. Every time someone orders wine, I can ask them if they'd raise a toast and what to. I think it's a nice question.
But Stanley's very thoughtful. We don't normally have such a thoughtful guest on, you know. We have a lot of comedians on who just toast like to dicks or whatever.
I was going to say that too.
Most people have toasted a dick so far.
Yeah. Right.
It's either dicks or long life for everyone.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Yeah. A friend and I saw him last night, actually. We and I have a joke. We'll just pick up a glass and go fuck yourself.
We arrive at your dream dessert. Now, before we started recording, you did start saying to Ed that you don't really like sweet things very much, and that started scaring me. I'm a big dessert boy.
Yeah, all right.
So I'm a little bit worried, but also I'm not too worried because, you know, I know you're a massive fan of food, you love food. I would imagine there is a dessert that is sweet that would be...
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blueberry pie.
Oh, yes.
Mm. I love blueberry pie. Like, with blueberries from, like, the East Coast of the U.S., like Maine. I love that. Or apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, delicious.
I think blueberry pie and, like, cherry pie, like, stuff like that we... Because apple pie, we do a lot in the UK.
Yeah.
But stuff like blueberry, we don't get as many blueberry pies. Cherry pies you can get a bit, but, like, it's not the way it's done in the States. So when we're over there...
Yeah.
I think we talked on the pod before about when we walked ages in New York to get a cherry pie, just following your Google Maps for ages, and then the place was shut.
Yeah.
But, like, that's how
I was in a bad mood that day, Stanley.
That's
cruel.
That's what we want. We just wanted to, like, a blueberry pie is, that sounds pretty delicious.
Because also the whole pie, we don't have as much of a sweet pie culture here.
You're a savoury pie.
Yeah, so it's really, the idea of blueberry pie and cherry pie is presented to us through, like, American films and shows. It's such an American thing to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is weird because, I mean, you have incredible fruit here in the UK. I mean, you have an excess of it now because, number one, there aren't enough people to pick it. Number two, it's like, I just heard recently, there was a friend of mine who has a company that does, they call it rescue fruit.
Uh-huh.
So the fruit that's sort of bruised or looks a little funny.
Yeah, weird-looking fruit.
Yeah, they take it and they make, like, fruit balls out of it and things for kids and jams and all this really great stuff. But somebody came to them, this guy was a huge fruit grower and seller, came to them, he said, I have 200 tons of blueberries that I can't get rid of.
Wow.
And supermarkets were like, we can't take it. We don't have it. And he's like, can you take it and put it in your freezers? They said, we don't have the capacity. They threw it out.
Oh, man.
Oh, can you imagine? It's devastating, isn't it? Yeah.
There was just an article, too, about something like that these people are just throwing this stuff away because there aren't enough pickers.
Yeah.
Because after Brexit, people stop. They're like, fuck it. I'm not, you know, what's the point?
Man, I wish all those blueberries had gone into a pie.
Can you imagine?
Huge pie.
I know, because you have amazing fruit here.
Yeah.
But you do have incredible savory pies. I mean, a pasty, in a sense, being that. I had one the other day. Just like the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah. It reminds me of being an open spot to me as a comedian, just starting comedy, the pasties, because I'd get the train to London from Kettering, where I'm from, and then...
From where are you from?
Kettering, in Northamptonshire, little market town in the East Midlands.
Okay.
About an hour on the train into King's Cross, get there, do the gig, not have any time to eat anything, and just before I got onto the train, just get a pasty from the place and then immediately sit down and burn my mouth.
They stay so hot.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
incredible. I know. Because you're so hungry too. You want to get at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really wanted to get at it. And I'll try a different one each time to give myself a little, I'm trying this one this time. Mm. Beef and Stilton one was my favourite.
Beef and Stilton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I had to try and sort of slow myself down with them by just eating a bit around the edge because that's always not as hot.
Yeah. Yes, it's
and
true.
Just wait and maybe bite a little hole in the end to try and get some air into the pasta.
Yeah.
and then it's party time.
Yeah, we stopped the other day I went down to Cornwall and just on the way back, just stopped. Oh. you know, at a like a rest stop, you know, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
What do you call them?
So, like a service station. Yeah, yeah.
And there's always that yeah. company, the Cornish Pasty Company, or whatever it is, Cornwall, whatever it is. So good.
Yeah.
Classic. Oh, yeah. Classic pasty.
Every food culture, I think, a lot of, certainly Western food cultures, all have a version of mm-hmm. meat in pastry.
Absolutely.
Like little hand pies.
Yeah, yeah.
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 We were at a wedding on the weekend, and the bride is English, but her family, one half of her family is Italian, and the groom is Argentinian, and it was in Copenhagen. So it was just like a mad guest list, wow. and all of the food was a huge sort of mix of everything.
Right.
So when we were all dancing, like the cheese got cut, there was an incredible cheese platter, and then and then they just brought out empanadas about an hour later.
Love
so
it.
I was just dancing with two empanadas in my hands. Right. Just absolutely having the best
shirt
night.
Covered in berry juice.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you putting on the pie? Are you having ice cream with it, cream? Or are you just having it on its own, the blue?
I'd have it on its own, but maybe like a dollop of vanilla ice cream.
Mm. Proper vanilla bean ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. You get that hot and the cold. Yeah. Mixing together.
Yeah.
Delicious. Right. Well, I'm going to read your menu back to you now.
All right.
And see how you feel about it.
All right.
You would like sparkling water,
mm-hmm.
San Pellegrino, to be precise.
Yep, without question.
Also, a martini with that
yes.
before the meal begins.
Yes.
Focaccia, and I'm going to try and say, I mean, it looks like Benito's written sciatica, but I'm pretty sure that you don't want
you'd
that.
You'd like sciatica?
Schiacciata.
Schiacciata?
Yes, good.
Quite close to sciatica,
I guess.
And lots of salt.
Yes.
Starter, you would like oysters, plain and Rockefeller, with the deep-fried Vancouver oysters as well,
mm-hmm.
and the Villa Spirina white wine.
Mm-hmm.
Main course, Mother's Lasagna Bolognese with soft red wine.
Mm-hmm.
Side dish of chard and spinach with garlic, olive oil, salt and lemon. The drink is also the red wine there.
Yeah.
And dessert, blueberry pie with a dollop of vanilla ice cream.
Mm.
That sounds very good, Stan.
I'm hungry now.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta be, right?
Very nicely described, too.
Thank you very much. Well, you know, that's all Benito's doing. He writes it down as the episode's going along. I think that's Benito's doing, I said.
That's
and it is
does.
What you do.
Yeah.
You do that, and you find pictures of cats that are named after the guests.
Yes.
That they're your two jobs.
Yeah, you say that. You show that picture to every guest.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You
yeah.
go, this yeah. is named after you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they all go.
Well, look at my friend's cat. His name... Yotam Ottolenghi.
That is a good name for a cat as well. Stanley, thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you, guys. It's really been fun. Thank you.
What a wonderful way to end the series, James.
Delicious. A delicious menu and a wonderful man.
So true.
Such a nice conversation.
Such a nice conversation. Such a nice chat. With the brilliant Stanley Tucci. Don't forget, it's Christmas coming up. Why not buy Stanley's new book? Well, it's new in paperback. Taste My Life in Food. It's out now. It's good for presents or a little present to yourself.
And make sure you get an iPlayer and watch Inside Man as well.
You got to.
I mean, you got to watch loads of TV over the Christmas season, ain't you?
It's perfect. It's perfect. In it.
Last episode of the series, we didn't chuck Stanley out. We didn't say dragon soup. Thank you. Sorry, Morgana.
No chuckouts this season.
No chuckouts at all. Still, the only person we've chucked out is Jade Adams on Strictly. And, not on Strictly. Jade Adams, who's currently on Strictly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We chucked her straight into a ball
game. She's currently on Strictly as of time of record. This is like, as of time of recording, there's been two episodes of Strictly have gone out. Oh, and yeah. Jade is still in it.
Strictly might be over.
This is the final episode of this series. So I think safe to say, Jade has been voted off. By now. Probably hit the dance floor. Chose to do a dance involving hundreds and thousands.
Yeah.
Immediately got kicked out.
Yeah.
At by
the end,
Tony
she spins around, does a big spin at the end, and loads of hundreds and thousands fly out of her dress.
Yeah.
And
she, that's what I just saw her do a dance recently on it, where it's based on Flashdance, and she sits on the chair at the end and pulls this thing, and loads of glitter falls on her. How good it would have been!
Oh my god!
It was like hundreds and thousands. Jade bag of hundreds and thousands straight in her face.
How baffled would most people have been?
Like, why was there hundreds of thousands at the end? Because she loves them. You know, I think a lot of the time, end of series chat. You know, it goes on for longer than needs be. People don't want to let go of the series.
Well, look, they needn't worry, because of course we always do Christmas specials, and this year will be no different. We've got two very exciting Christmas specials coming up for you.
Yes.
And also maybe another little surprise.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Another little surprise.
And we will see some of you on December 20th at the Royal Festival Hall. That's all sold out now, so apologies if you couldn't get tickets, but I'm sure we'll do more live stuff in the future.
Yes, hopefully we will be able to.
Yes.
They're great fun, and we would like to see more of you.
Yes, but we will not come outside of London unless it's Canada.
Yes, only Canada. Only London and Montreal.
Yeah.
The only two places we'll ever be.
Lonmo.
Lonmo, that's what it says on our Twitter. Want to know location?
Yeah, Lonmo. Location. Lonmo.
Lonmo.
Lonmon. Thank you very much for listening to this series of Off Menu. Keep on chomping, and we will see you very soon.
Keep on stomping. Keep on chomping.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, well, there's another podcast is coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.